Yes, hello. Thank you very much for taking your time to follow this conference call on the first 9 months of 2018 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and by Mr. Simone Montanari, Piaggio Group Chief Financial Officer. During the conference call, we will use the presentation you can download from our website. And as usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risk that can cause actual results to be materially different. And now I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Simone Montanari.
Hello everyone, thanks for attending the call. As usual, I will start the conference call from page four, providing a quick snapshot of the main market trends. We ended the first 9 months of 2018 with positive demand across all our major regions. In particular, Europe posted an encouraging improving trend, while Asia and India confirmed the positive momentum of the first part of the year. More in details, Europe, after the negative start to the year, took an upward shift in Q2. Q1 it was -4%, Q2 +1%, and strengthened the growth in Q3, +4%, leading the market to end around 1% above prior year. As highlighted during last conference call, market demand stemmed from diverging dynamics: a sharp decline of the 50cc segment that was still compensating for the strong growth of the latter part of 2017 linked to the shift from Euro 2 to Euro 4 engines, and sequentially stronger demand for over 50cc vehicles, which ended up high single digit with positive demand spread all over the major European countries. In Asia, Q1 positive trend strengthened in the following quarters. In particular, Vietnam confirmed in Q3 the mid-single-digit growth rate of the first half, +4%. Indonesia kept a robust high single-digit growth, +9%, and the Philippines demands further accelerated, ending the first 9 months more than 20% higher than prior year. In India, three-wheelers light commercial vehicles strong momentum continued with demand up 50% against 2017 and, more importantly, around 30% growth against 2016, which testifies that the positive performance wasn't exclusively linked to the easy comparison base in 2017. Indian two-wheelers kept on posting strong growth, with scooter ending up +10% despite the flattish trend of Q3. Moving to page 5, we will have a look at the positive result achieved so far from a financial perspective. In particular, some highlights. Volume improving trend accelerated across the period, leading to an overall +10% growth. Similarly, Vespa positive performance strengthened, leading to an overall volume growth in the first 9 months of around 14%. Net sales upward trend accelerated strongly in Q3, +11% despite negative Forex effect. Without Forex, it would have been +13%, leading to an overall growth in the first 9 months around 4% year-to-date that would have been +8.4% excluding Forex. The group reached a profitability peak at EBITDA level, which grew around €6 million against last year, up to €166 million, with a margin uplift of 0.1 percentage point that led the ratio on net sales up to 15.2%, the best first 9 months performance to date. Also, at a cash level, results has been sound, in particular, notwithstanding the forecasted higher capital expenditures that we will have in 2018 to support the initiatives for the years to come. We have been able to generate a positive cash flow that pushed the net debt both below year-end 2017 and below September 2017 level. Noteworthy, we generated around €63 million of cash flow available for shareholders in the first 9 months. Let's move now to page 6 to have an in-depth analysis of the trend by businesses. Overall volumes continued to trend up in the first 9 months. We ended Q1 up by 7%, Q2 by 9%, and Q3 by +13%, ending in the first 9 months is +10%. This trend led the revenues to grow around 4% year to date, again 8.4% at constant Forex, after taking a strong acceleration in Q3, +11%, which benefited from a growth in all geographic areas. Additionally, if we look at the trend by business, the group grew both in light commercial vehicles, with revenues up around 13%, +19% at constant Forex, and in two-wheelers, with revenues up around +1%, +3% at constant Forex. More in detail, looking at the performance by geographic area, India confirmed to be the main engine of growth, both in absolute and relative terms. Indian two-wheelers volumes and revenues kept on surging despite weak market trend in the latter part of the period, namely with Vespa, which volumes grew more than 40%, actually 45% against prior year with the Vespa. Indian light commercial vehicles kept posting healthy performance, driven by a bold contribution both of domestic and export sales. I would like to underline again that domestic volumes were not only on the rise against 2017, which represents an easy comparison base, but also around +3% above 2016. Both in two-wheelers and light commercial vehicles, we achieved these results with average prices on the rise, excluding Forex. Moving to Asia Pacific, volumes rose +8%, leading to a +7% growth in revenues at constant Forex. Clearly, these results bodes well looking at Q4 2018, when the comparison with prior year will soften a little bit. From country standpoint, the strongest contribution to growth came from Indonesia, which grew more than 40%, and thus it is set to achieve at the end of 2018 the best results on the record. Among other countries, it is worth mentioning the ongoing sound performance of China and Taiwan and Thailand. Additionally, I would like to underline the steady improvement of Vietnam, whose volume trend shifted to positive already since Q2 and again in Q3, and revenues rose high single digits in Q3. Western countries had been the bright spot in the Q3. Two-wheelers volumes grew high single digits in Q3, +9%, in the wake of improving demand trend and the successful launch of new products, namely the new version of Vespa and the MP3. This successful result was achieved despite the persistent decline of the 50cc segment and the weaknesses of US market. Also for Western countries, I would like to highlight the sound price increase, which testifies the strength of our brand. Let's move now to page 7 to look at the breakdown of the performance by product. First of all, I would like to underline again the strong performance of Vespa among scooters. Vespa volumes growth accelerated throughout the period, scoring a +14% in the first 9 months, on the back of positive performance across all geographic areas. Notably, the average selling price went up across the board, further proving the strength of the brand. Among other scooters, I would like to highlight the positive performance of the MP3, whose performance strengthened, and also on the back of the introduction of 3 new versions at the end of Q2, beginning of Q3. Looking at bikes, the mismatch between volumes, +8%, and the revenues, -7%, has been linked to negative mix effect, and in particular in US, where a big portion of our sales are represented by high displacement vehicles, our volumes declined, dragged down by the prolonged market weakness. Moving to page 8, we can look at the EBITDA bridge. As said before, the EBITDA grew 4.4%, or 6.2% at constant Forex, reaching €166 million, and above all with a margin on sales of 15.2%, that has been the best performance to date. This result was driven by the top-line growth, which more than offset the slight decrease in gross margin, mainly linked to different geographical mix of results. In particular, Indian contribution was higher than previous year, and the raw material cost increase. Lastly, the cash operating expenses ended slightly up or in line with prior year, reflecting heightened marketing expenses to support new initiatives and new product launches, and upfront costs for new product development. Coming to slide 9, we can analyze the net profit bridge. Net result surged 45%, plus 11 million euro compared to last year, with a significant uplift of margin on net sales that reached 3.3 percentage points. Notably, this very positive result has been achieved despite the tax rate hike to 45% that reflects the different geographical mix of results, and in particular, the strong growth in India, where we have the higher tax rate among our businesses, and has been the sum of higher EBITDA that has been commented before. As expected, and very important, lower D&A after the peak reached last year, and again, as expected, lower financial expenses as we started reaping the benefit of lower level of debt and of the recent actions to lower the cost of borrowing. Additionally, please consider that the bond issuance generated a one-off positive effect of 1 million euro in terms of financial positive effect. Moving to page 10, I think we have page 10, we may have a look at the financial highlights we commented, and in particular, net sales up by 43 million euro from 1,050 million euro up to 1,093 million. Gross margin in line with last year, 30.6% against 30.7% of last year. EBITDA higher than last year, both in absolute term and the relative one, 166 million euro against 159 million, 15.2% against 15.1%. Depreciation lower than last year, 81 million euro against 90 million of last year. Operating results, 15.8 million euro higher than last year, 85 million euro against 69 million of last year. Financial expenses, notably lower than last year, 18.8 million euro against 25 million euro than last year, that is 6 million euro saving. Income before tax, +50% compared to last year, 66 against 44 million euro. Tax higher, obviously, than last year, and the net income that grew up to 36 million euro against 25 million euro of last year. At the bottom part of the slide, you can also appreciate the reduction of net financial position compared to the September of 2017, which was 431 million euro. In September 2018, we accounted for 405 million euro, and the cash flow contribution in the first nine months, that has been 41.6 million euro in the period, compared to 60 million euro of last year, basically due to the higher capital expenses. In particular, let's look at page 11 to have a more detailed view of the cash flow. Operating cash flow grew versus last year on the back of the higher EBITDA. Working capital generated a positive contribution, notwithstanding tough comparison base, because we already reduced a lot our working capital level. Capital expenditure has been significantly higher than last year, but consistent with the target of 100 million euro for the full year 2018. Change in equity that has been higher than last year, also reflecting around 4 million euro negative effect linked to the first time adoption of IFRS 9. As a result, we produced 42 million euro of cash that pushed down the net debt level at 405 million euro and led the gearing, that is net debt on equity, down at 1.05, that has been compared to the 1.11 of September 2017. Thanks for your attention. We can now move to start the Q&A session.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. The first question is from Monica Bosio of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on Europe. Finally, the European scooter market is delivering some sign of growth, and in the third quarter, the growth has been visible. Year to date, the market is plus 1%. I was wondering if you can give us some indication on the October trend in Italy and if it's possible in the rest of the European countries, and your assumption on the total final year growth for the scooter market in Europe, and if I may, your feeling on 2019. The second question is on the usual question on the final year EBITDA. I remember that you have always been guided for something in the region of 200 and 205 million. Each quarter you beat the market expectation, at least a little bit, but for each quarter. So I'm wondering if you now feel more optimistic for a qualitative guidance more in the region of 205, 206 million, or if you keep the euro 200 million. And the last question is on India. Now the demonetization effect is over, there is no more any favorable comparison base, but the market in India is still growing. I was wondering if you can give us some indication on the expected growth for 2019 on the Indian light commercial vehicle market, and if you are still expecting to grow by double digit in 2019. And the very last, it's on two wheels for the Indian market. Can you give us an indication in terms of expected volumes for the next year for two wheels? Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Bosio, for your question. Let's start from the first one, European market. It is true that finally in Q3 the European market growth has been visible. In particular, the plus 3.6% in Q3 that has been accounted has, again, two very different diverging dynamics. The 50cc was minus 15%, mm-hmm. while the over 50cc has been plus 11%, and plus 11% is definitely a positive trend for the European market. I expect that we will stay with the same trends also with Q4, and so basically we will end up in the European full year 2018 market with something higher than plus 1%, with a Q4 going plus 10% on the over 50cc, while a minus on the 50cc market. If I look at the October year-to-day results, basically they are confirming this trend. Moving to the second question, that is the EBITDA for the full year 2018, Again, we are staying with our guidance. Our guidance is to end up the 2018 between 200 and 205 euro million. Then we may have something even above this 205, but I think it's more reliable to stay between 200 and 205. Then we may also beat this consensus, but I don't think that this is the key point. Mm-hmm. The key point, plus or minus 1 euro million, is that for the second year in a row, we gave a guidance on EBITDA, and we were able to maintain this guidance. We were able to maintain the EBITDA level, to reduce the net debt, and I think this is the very positive strong point that I would like to be appreciated. Coming to the third question, that is India for 2019, it's very early to comment on 2019 or to give guidances on 2019. I expect that the growth rate of the market will soften a little bit compared to what has been counted in 2018, but will remain a growth rate of double digit in India in light commercial vehicles. And I expect also that the two-wheels market will grow higher than double digit for 2018. And so basically, if you ask me what are our expectations for the region 2018, yes, my expectation, net of Forex, is that we will grow basically double digit in the region.
Thank you very much. Very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Niccolò Storer of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on the electric Vespa. Just if you can give us some color on how the selling process is doing and the general market reception of the vehicle. The second one is on factoring. If you can give us an update on the level at the end of the 9 months. And how this level compares to 9 months last year and previous quarter. Thank you.
Okay. So let's start from electric Vespa. First market feedback has been very, very positive. The interest that is coming from the market, again, it's strong and positive. And so we are very positive for sales also in the last quarter and in 2019. Obviously, the electric market is still lower and limited compared to the overall European market, but if I look at the medium term, I think that this is a very positive opportunity that we are going to catch. We will present again, and we will start the selling of the electric Vespa early November at the EICMA exhibition. And so we will see the first selling volumes and sell-out volumes starting from November and December and so on. We just started collecting pre-orders, and pre-orders are going above our expectation. If I move to the factoring result, at the end of September, factoring of receivable has been around €100 million. That is nearly €8 million above September 2017.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Three questions from my side. The first one is on net debt at the end of the year. Can you give us an indication of what we can expect in terms of net debt if the positive trend we have seen up to September is going to continue, if there are any element we should bear in mind in modeling for the rest of the year? And the second one is on the fact you mentioned in the press release that you were looking at opportunities in Asia Pacific and India. If you can elaborate a little bit on that and what could be the outcome of this analysis. And the last one is on trade and tariffs and so on. Have you seen any specific change in markets due to that? Are you concerned about potential risks related to this kind of activity, especially for the export you make out of India, for example, or within the Asia region? And basically, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Villa. Let's start from the first question, net debt. I can underline again that the net debt reduction has been and will be a key priority of this group. In particular, we have a guidance of reducing the net debt at a level of €425 million for the year end 2018, and we are fine with this guidance. The last quarter, from a seasonal perspective, has been always a quarter in which the cash flow is negative because of a weaker operating result, basically compared to the average of the previous quarter, and the level of capex instead in line with the previous quarter ones.
Usually the cash level in the last quarter is negative. It will be like this also this year, but we will reduce the debt compared to December 2017 at the level of region 425 million euro. If I come to the second question that was related to Asia Pacific and India, there is no discontinuity in the short term, so we will go on focusing on two-wheelers in Asia Pacific and in particular in regaining positioning in Vietnam and developing the other Asia Pacific countries. In India, we will go on in investing in light commercial vehicles and in two wheels. If we look for some kind of discontinuity or extending the product range, we will have to wait in two wheels for the mid of 2019, when we will launch a new Aprilia vehicle. In 2018, we already launched in commercial vehicles our product range of alternative fuel that will be the base for developing sales in the quarters to come. As for the last question, trade and trade war, no, I don't see any relevant impact up to now.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Monica Bosio, Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate the comment on the divergent trend between scooters below 50 cc and scooters above. I'm trying to figure out what could be the trend for 2019. I know it's very early, but in theory, the scooters below 50 cc should at least remain flat or should improve a little bit thanks to a better comparison base. The scooter above 50 cc should post a sound growth. Do you share this view, or do you see a different trend or a still negative trend for the scooters below 50 cc in Europe in 2019? The second question is just a curiosity. I've seen that in India, the two-wheel market has flattened, and I was wondering if do you know if there is an explanation for this flattish trend for the market in India? Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Bosio. Coming from European market, if you were referring to 2018 last quarter, basically we share roughly the same view. That is over 50 cc growing, let's say in the region of +10%, while 50 cc decreasing also due to the comparison base. Because I remember you that in the last quarter of 2017, there was the anticipation of the change of regulation between Euro 2 to Euro 4.
Correct.
There was a peak in volumes 2017 that will result in a significant or relevant decrease in the comparison with the last quarter of 2017. If I look at 2019, we do share the same view. That is a flattish market for 50 cc vehicles. I hope that we reach the bottom and are growing from mid to high single digit in the over 50 cc European. If I move to two wheels India, no, I don't think, I don't see any relevant factor that we have to comment. It is true that in September, but only in September, the market was flattish, but I think that it will kept on growing in the months to come. Again, we have to also to consider that for two wheels India, we do have an issue in case to face of developing our dealer network more than competing with the market or with the market share.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
The next question is a follow-up from Niccolò Storer of Kepler. Please go ahead. Mr. Storer, your line is open.
Yes, sorry. Thank you for taking my follow-up, which is on Southeastern Asian volumes. I saw a sort of deceleration in the third quarter. to just +4% in terms of volume, while at the beginning of the conference call, you discuss about very healthy markets. So I was wondering how this 4% is made of, and if you can elaborate a little bit more on the performance by different geographies, and how do we get to this +4%? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Storer. So again, let's start on the Q3 performance. Q3 performance in Asia Pacific has been +4%, as we were commenting before. If I look at these results by region, we move to a +4% in Vietnam, so in line with the average, to a plus higher than 10% in Indonesia, while on the other side, I do have a -10% in Taiwan and South Korea. So it's the result of different market trends and different action. Overall, if I look now not only at the Q3, but in the first 9 months of 2018 in Asia Pacific, and particularly in Vietnam, we went through a full reorganization of the commercial approach and a small reorganization also of the dealer network. We also went through a reduction of the stock inventory compared to what has been in the previous year, and this resulted in a lower than the market growth.
Okay, but it is reasonable to assume that you are kind of losing market shares in more advanced countries where probably the trend is moving towards other forms of mobility or also electric mobility?
No, well, personally, I don't think so. That is, we have kept and we are maintaining our positioning in Vietnam. We are maintaining our position in Indonesia. We are maintaining our position in Thailand. That basically are the countries where we do play in a more effective and important way in terms of volumes. The other factors are basically linked also to specific importers' performance or specific market performance, but I would not infer an issue in the positioning of ourselves compared to the competition in the whole Asia Pacific arena.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one. There is no question booked at the moment.
Okay, so if there are no more questions, I think that we can end the call now. As usual, if you need more information, you can call me later, also tomorrow. So thank you very much for attending this conference call. Bye.